Okay, so we're on the subject of tithes and offerings, and you see our scripture reading of Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. I want to make a couple comments on this this scripture reading. So let's just read this, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And I know you're going to read it up here, and it'll say, "Will a man rob God?" But in the study text that we have, it says, "Will a man defraud God? Yet you have defrauded me, but you say, how have we defrauded you?" And then he tells how, in tithes and offerings. And I was talking to Pete about this the other day, and before I even looked at this translation here, I went ahead and looked at this verse, and I looked at that word rob, and I found out that it wasn't the best word to be used here. It's not incorrect. It's okay to say rob. It gives the right connotation, but it's actually the wrong word, and I'm going to show you what I mean by that. I got to thinking as I was looking at this in John chapter 10, verse 8. I'm going to use this as an example of what I'm talking about. John chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus said, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers." And I was looking at that one day and I was thinking, God, why didn't you just say, "All who came before me are robbers," period? Or, "All who came before me are thieves," period. He said, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers," implying there's a difference between a robber and a thief. And the actual definition for rob in the Hebrew, where Malachi is, means, it comes from a root word that means to cover, that is figuratively to defraud. And that word cover implies what he's talking about here. It's something that's done hidden. It's not out in the open where you can, you know, see this. You know, they're not going around saying, "Look, everybody, I'm not tithing. Check me out. I'm not giving offerings," you know. It's something that's hidden. But if you go back and look at John 10 and 8, that word robber there is the Greek word, I'm going to pretend like I know what this, how to say this, but it's lestes. And it means a thief, robber. So even it throws robber in there. Well, that's what it is. It's a robber, but it's a thief stealing out in the open, typically with violence. Okay, I don't know if that one has that. Yeah, yours is like the one that I was looking up. I was looking at BibleHub.com. It's a pretty cool website to look definitions up, and it had a little bit more detail as to what the difference is in these words. I couldn't find the difference in just the Strong's. I had to go a little deeper with other things. Okay, so it says that it's somebody who does something out in the open. They steal out in the open. It's a thief who plunders, pillages, an unscrupulous marauder, exploiting the vulnerable without hesitation to use violence. So that's what a robber is. It's somebody who steals out in the open. Now, the word for thief here is the word kleptes, and you might can see where, you know, another word we get from that. What's that? Kleptomaniac. We know what those are. It's people who can't help but steal from you, right? They can help, but they just don't want to help it, right? Okay. And the definition for that one is a thief who steals by stealth. Is that what that one says? Okay, a stealer is what that says. On the Bible Hub, it says it's somebody who steals by stealth. So they're more secretive in their stealing. So that's the difference between somebody who robs and somebody steals. Somebody who robs does it in open, and they usually use violence. Somebody who steals is more stealthy about it. They don't want you knowing what they're doing. And that's the implication, I believe, for Malachi chapter 3. In this translation that we have, the PBT translation. Y'all understand what I mean by that? The Pete Bumcarner translation. It's actually a good translation. I was talking with him. I said, I did this study on robber and thief, and then I went back and then I read this. And I was like, man, he used the word I would use, defraud. And then I went and talked to him about it. He said, I put that word in there. Oh, okay. All right. So we was on the same track there. And actually, that word in Malachi for robber, it uses the word defraud in it. And the word defraud in the English, there's no, you know, Hebrew for this, but in the English, the word defraud in dictionary.com, it means this: to deprive of a right, money, or property by fraud. And so, in this case, the right and the money is God's. It belongs to Him. And the people were in darkness taking it. They wasn't giving it to Him. They, you know, He put it in their trust, and they were eating it up, thereby defrauding Him or committing fraud. So the tithe and offerings are put in our trust. You know, God could say, I want 90%, but He just says 10% plus offerings, right? So go back and read that. He says, will a man defraud God, yet you have defrauded me. But you say, how have we defrauded you? In tithes and offerings. I wanted to highlight that, and offerings. You are cursed with a curse because you have defrauded me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, not part of it. How much? See, people like to compromise with God, you know. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And test me in this matter, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that is more than enough. I like that translation. It's more than enough. It's really what it says. The King James kind of adds more to it that's not there. I will also rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither will your vine drop its fruit in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed, because you will be a pleasant land, says the Lord of hosts. And so this set of scriptures has it all, what tithes and offerings does. It really is cooperation with God. God wants you to operate in the blessing that He has given you. When you get born again, you receive the blessing of Abraham on you. But your giving is your cooperation with this favor that God has put on you. And see, the thing that I feel like God really wanted me to stress the most tonight is that most people walk around and they believe when I give, that's when I'm blessed. But see, that's backwards. When you get born again, that's when you're blessed. Your giving is just a cooperation of the blessing that's already on your life. And see, if you would understand that, then now I'm giving because I believe I'm a blessed person. I'm not giving out of obligation, or I'm trying to get something to happen, or try to twist God's arm to make Him do something for me. And, you know, just shooting from the hip, I was thinking of Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs chapter 6, chapter 10, verse 6. Says blessings are upon the head of the just. Is that correct? Is that where that is? Proverbs chapter 10. Yeah. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. One translation says blessings are on the head of the just. How do you get, according to that scripture, how do you get blessings? You got to be who? You got to be what? You got to be the just. You got to be righteous. Well, how do you become justified or righteous? Romans chapter 5, put in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I believe it is. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been what? By what? How do you get to become one of the just? So when you get born again, you become just, and God's blessed. He puts His blessing on you. You're blessed. And again, shoot from the hip, but go back to Proverbs 10. I believe it's verse 22. Go down to verse 22. Proverbs 10 down to verse 22. It says, let's see. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. All right, so when you get born again, God's blessing on you is on you. It's placed on you. And the purpose of that is to bring increase onto your life. Not just for you, but you know, God blesses us so that we can bless His kingdom, right? So that we can increase the kingdom of God in this world. If God's people aren't blessed, well, His kingdom can't be blessed, because He flows through His people to increase his kingdom. Am I right? Okay. So the way you do that, you first, number one, you got to get born again. When you get born again, God's blessing's on you. Now, you don't never give to get God's blessing. You get born again to get God's blessing. Okay, you need to get this straight in your heart. I know this is minute little things that I'm telling you here, but these little minute things make all the change in the world in your life. If you think that you got to give to be blessed, well, you're backwards. You got to get saved to be blessed. Your giving is the cooperation with the blessing that's upon you. And as I give, I'm cooperating with the favor of God that's already upon me, and then I can expect to see increase in my life. You know, you could be, homeless, living in a cardboard box behind Ingles. But if you're born again, you're one of the most blessed people on planet Earth because you got the favor of God on you. Now, believe it. And if you really believe it, you won't stay in that cardboard box long. You'll be looking through the trash cans trying to find something to give so you can cooperate with the blessing that's on you. You see where I'm going with this? And I really feel like God wanted me to underscore this tonight, that so many people are trying to coerce God into blessing them by giving. That's the wrong attitude, right? You need to believe I'm blessed because I'm saved. The blessing of Abraham is on me, and it's by grace. It has nothing to do with my works, but my works are important. It cooperates with the blessing. You understand that? And so that's super important. Let's go read our second scripture in this scripture reading, Luke 6, verse 38. He says, "Give, and you will receive." How do you receive? I'm telling you, we want to walk around wanting to receive, don't we? Is that all that's required of Jesus, walking around with your hand open? What's that first word say? So that's our part. We have to give, and then we can expect to receive. Right? That's the cooperation with the blessing that is on you. You're a blessed people. You are a blessed people. I just really feel strong to tell you, you are a blessed people. And if you really get that ingrained in your heart that you are blessed right now, right where you sit, with the belongings you have, with all the debt that you have, with all the problems you have, if you're born again, the blessing and the hand and the favor of the Lord is upon you, and it can dig you out of any little pit that you're in, anything that you consider big, any kind of mountain, you can just, that blessing will cause it to move. Amen? But you got to first believe that you're blessed. Amen? All right, so give and you might receive. That's emphatic, isn't it? It's emphatic. If you give, you will receive, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be given into your bosom or poured out in your laps, what one translation said. For with the portion that you give, it will be measured back to you. Every time I read that scripture, I think about taking the trash out. I really do. Any of you men who take the trash out, and I know most of you ladies have to do it because the men won't get up and do what they need to do, right? So, but every time I take the trash out, I think of Luke 6:38, and that's on the test tonight, by the way, Luke 6:38. Okay? When that trash can's full, you think it's full, right? You go to pull it out of the trash can, and then you realize something. I can get some more in here, right? I can get a little more here, so what do? You press it down, you shake it together. You say, "Honey, go get the rest of them. Go walk around, find some magazines, whatever trash you can get. Let's get as much in this thing as we can possibly get in it." Next thing you know, it's doing what? And the key to it is, he says, with the same portion that you give, that's how it comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if you give thimbles out, what's coming back? It's thimble portion, but it's pressed down, shaken together. What God's saying is, man, I'm trying to work with you. I'm going to get as much in and send it back to you as I possibly can, so would you just please work with me? Right? So He wants us to give, and you can expect the portion that comes back to you to be in proportion to what you have given. So If you give out thimbles, it's going to come out in thimbles, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you give trash bag fulls away, it's going to come back, pressed down, shaken together, running in that measure. Amen? Okay. So there's a real process of reaping, sowing and reaping. And God created this law. It's a spiritual law. It's not something that we, we twist God's arm to make happen. It's just something we cooperate with. We have to recognize this is how it works. Some people are under the wrong mentality. Well, if God wants something to happen, it's just going to happen. I'm sorry, but He put spiritual laws in the world, and we have to cooperate with these spiritual laws. And one of them is give, and it'll be given to you. There's a sowing and reaping law, and really, in context of this scripture, it's not just talking about finance. If you go back and read Luke 6, you'll see that really, whatever you give, it's coming back to you. Jesus said, be merciful for what? You'll receive mercy, right? That's a giving and reaping thing. If you want mercy to come your way, what do you got to give out? Yeah. What did He say? How did He say you should treat other people? Why? Because the way you treat them, that's the way it's coming back to you. It's throughout. Man, I want to tell you something. Husbands and wives can learn that. You want some love? Give some love. You want some respect? Give some respect. Whatever you're wanting, sow that. And I don't know why. I don't mean to get off on this, but I've sat in the position as pastor, and I've had a lot of marriage counseling come my way. And generally, this is how it goes. The woman will sit down and say, well, this is what he's doing. He's not doing what the Word of God says. He's not loving me like he should love me. And then, or the husband will sit down and say, well, she's not honoring me and respecting me the way she should honor and respect me. They're really good at quoting what the other person's supposed to be doing, but they don't ever say what they're supposed to be doing. And you notice that most people do that. They're very aware of what you're supposed to do, but they're not very aware of what they're supposed to do. Right? It doesn't say, husbands, make your wives honor you. Is that what it says? Does it say, wives, make your husbands love you? No. That was written to them. That's what they're supposed to do. That's their job. Right? So God, the Word of God speaks to us on a personal level. Okay, and finances are exactly the same. If you want to receive, you have to, and you need to become an expert in learning what God says about these things if you want to flow in these things, because God has to have your cooperation, right? I like Luke 11:42 here. And I've used this when I teach about tithing at my church. I was so happy to see this scripture in here in this study. It says Luke 11:42, but woe to you Pharisees, because you tithe mint and rue and all manner of vegetables and neglect justice and the love of God. These you what? You should have done without leaving out the other. You know, if Jesus was going to get rid of tithing, this would have been a perfect opportunity to say, you know, I'm getting ready to do away with this tithing thing. So it didn't matter whether you did that or not, but make sure you love and do justice, right? Now, he said you should have done this. Tithing is something we're supposed to do, something we're supposed to operate in. I believe tithing is something that has been set up before the law, and we're going to get into that a little more clear here in a little while. Look at the theme here. Tithes and offerings are ordained by God as a means to take care of, number one, His ministers, and number two, His people. You know, if we're not tithing and giving to our church, it's going to hinder the ministry. It's going to put a stifle on what God's trying to do in that house. Also, it's going to stop the blessing from flowing in the life of those who's supposed to be given, right? Some people are deceived into thinking that tithing and offering practices were exclusively Old Testament practices and are not necessary today. We trust that this study will grant scriptural insight and motivate believers to practice this God-ordained principle of giving. Now, notice that last clause, principle of giving. This is not something that was, instituted in the law. And I mean, really, it was instituted before the law. Abraham gave tithes. But it's actual principle. It's a principle is something that is established, and if you'll cooperate with that principle, you can have a predicted outcome. That's the way a principle works, right? All right. Because of ignorance and misunderstanding and erroneous teachings, many people are deprived of God's blessing because they give from an obligatory mindset. God loves a what kind of giver? Amen. So really, our giving is a heart matter. It's an outflow of our worship, right? And if it's not an outflow of your worship, and if it's not something that comes from your heart, well, then you're giving with the wrong motives. You know, in God's estimation, your motives are just as important as why you do what you do. And so He wants to make sure that we get our motives in the right place, get our heart in the right place where all these things are concerned, and then the outflow of the action will be correct. So if the outflow of the action is incorrect, how do you know if the outflow of the action is incorrect? You check your heart. Check your heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it just because somebody said you should do this? Right? Well, I mean, God does love our obedience, but He wants our heart obedience, not our action obedience. You understand what I mean by that? You know, I've been given tithes and offerings since probably the week I got born again. I mean, I just, it's just always been an outflow of my heart. And I guess Pete just knowed by the Spirit, because I don't remember ever telling him that I was a tither. But I have. I'll be 43 this year. And I've been giving tithes and offerings since I was 19 years old. When I got born again, my mom pulled me to the side and she explained to me about tithes and offerings. And I had money in my pocket and I said, well, what? I didn't even know what 10% was. Like, what's 10% of this? I was so ignorant. God has made me a lot smarter. He really has. I can figure some things out now. But anyway, I whipped it out right then, and I gave it. I said, "Here, I want to obey God, and because I'm just so thankful for what He's done to me." God wants this to be an outflow of our worship. If it's not an outflow of your worship, well, then why do you do it? Your motivation is super important. You know, one thing I do, and you don't have to do what I do, but this is what I do. I go to the bank every Thursday, and I cash my check. And I always pull my tithes and my offerings out, and I put it in a special place in my wallet before I even walk out of the bank. And many times I'll just say with my mouth under my breath, say, God, I'm honoring You by giving You my tithes and my offerings. I want to tell you something. God has always blessed me. That blessing of increase is on me, and I believe it. And every year I have increased, and it hasn't always been through the things that, my job, I don't want to call it a job. I don't consider what I do a job, but this is the way that God brings money into my life. But many times He would do it through my wife. And I tell you, I just have this confession that I say every year. And when I'm before God, I say, Lord, I thank You. The blessing of increase is on me. And I'm going to give more next year than I did this year. And you know what? I've always made more so that I can give more every year. And it's not a greed thing. Please don't misunderstand me. If you're not careful, you'll get into greed and you'll get the... God is not a slot machine, okay? He's not a lottery ticket. We're talking about principles here. And God's more concerned about why you're doing what you're doing than the actual thing you're doing, right? So I keep wanting to get back to that. It's a heart, it's a flow of heart worship. I want to have more so I can give more. What about you? And so I remember one time I had lost my job or something. I don't remember what it was. I hadn't always been a pastor, by the way. But I can't remember what I did. I lost a job or something, and we was getting down to October, and it was November, getting near the end of the year, And I got to thinking about my giving that year, and I said, you know what? I got to thinking, I'm not going to be giving more this year than I did last year. And I didn't say that out loud. So I got before the Lord, because this is a heart thing for me. It's not a pride thing. Please don't misunderstand my heart here. And I told God, I said, you know, Lord, I'm believing that still that I'll give more this year than I did last year, because the blessing of increase is on me, and I just want to be a blessing. And I just left it with God. I didn't pray any different. I just thanked God that I was going to be giving more. And my wife went to work one day, and her boss man, his brother worked at another college in Texas, and he was talking to her about a problem he had. They had this program that they used to train students on this particular thing. I don't even know what I... Sometimes she talks about work, and I go, but anyway. That ain't funny, I know. Don't laugh at that. Okay. But anyway, she was telling me about this, and she said, you know, he asked me if I would mind helping to update that program. And I said, well, you just pray about it. If you feel like doing it, that's fine, you know. And we was really needing some money. And so she prayed about it. She told me, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to do this. So she went back, and I think this was before she even realized how much they was going to give her. So she went back and told them that she agreed to do it. Well, she comes home with a check for $7,500. And I'm like, well, praise God. And she told me, she said, this is only half of it. They're going to give me $15,000 to do this. And so before the end of the year, I had an extra $15,000. We had an extra $15,000. We was able to present before the Lord. And we wound up giving more that year than we did the year before that, because I just held fast to what I believed. I believe that the blessing of increase on me, and God wants me to increase so that I can cover more territory for my God. Amen? And we just love giving. We're givers, and you should get a heart of giving. You know, God wants a cheerful giver. He wants it to be an outflow of your worship. Okay, so God loves a cheerful giver. Giving to charities and other social nonprofit organizations is not giving to God. That which is given to the Lord is to be presented to the Lord and not social organizations. So our first and foremost of everything we give goes to God, number one. There's a lot of people who justify giving to other things, but they want to give a dime to God. So that tells me right there that God doesn't have your heart. If you really want to know what has your heart, look at your checkbook and see what you write all your checks to. That's what has your heart. Got quiet in here really fast when I said that. But isn't it true? If you love Starbucks, it's in there. If you love McDonald's, it's in there. If you love steaks, it's in there. It's okay to buy that. I'm not saying it's wrong to have these things, but where's God in your checkbook? Is that in there? Right? Is He first in there? That's what's more important. Okay. That which is given to the Lord is given for the purpose of taking care of, number one, God's ministers, and number two, His people who are unable to provide for themselves. And, I've had people in the past come up to me and they say, you know what, I really seen somebody was in need and I know they really needed help, and so I took my tithes and I gave to them. Well, let me ask you a question. Can that person take your tithe and your offering and press it down, shake it together and run it over and give it back to you? Well, then you gave it to the wrong person. And the tithe is holy to God. That means it's set apart. We're supposed to honor Him with our tithe. It's holy. Our tithes, our offerings, He looks at it as something that's at a higher level than other things. It's supposed to be, if He looks at it that way, we should look at it that way, right? And I feel like a lot of times the reason we miss God is because we don't esteem things the same way God esteems them. And so what we should do is we should go into the Bible and find out how God esteems things. Right? Because His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But He didn't say, forget it, you can't come up to my level. That's what Pat was talking about Sunday at church. No. He offers you the ability to receive the Word of God into your heart so that you can to attain to His thoughts and His ways. Right? Come up hither was not just for John. You can attain to that height of His thinking, right? Alright. Giving to the Lord is not optional. Remember what I said about the person living behind Ingalls? If they really believe they're blessed, they'll find something to give. Because I mean, if you really believe you had that blessing on you, you'd be like, man, I gotta cooperate with this. I gotta get something flowing in my life. It's like I handed you, a box, a cake box, and I said, "Here's a cake." And you said, "That ain't a cake." Is that ain't a cake? I said, "You got to work with it. This is the ingredient. You got to work with it. And if you really believed there's a cake in there, you would work with it. You would do things to produce what's in that box." And see, God put the blessing of favor on you. And if you really believe that you're blessed, you'll do things to work with it to produce the blessing that's already on the inside of you. Amen? And I want you to know you're blessed. Whether you believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, I'm praying that the light bulb will come on and you're not looking at the evidence of the blessing. You're looking at this evidence of the blessing, the Word of God. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hopeful for, the evidence of things not seen. Just because you can see it don't mean you're blessed. Just because somebody's got a blessing or got things doesn't mean they're blessed by God. Right? You could have everything in the world and lose it tomorrow, but if you're blessed, you didn't really lose any blessing. Do you understand that? I can make that happen again because the blessing's inside of me. It's not in some material thing. You follow where I'm going with this? Okay. So giving to the Lord is not optional, it is mandatory. If one expects to receive from the Lord, those who withhold from God deprive themselves of God's blessing. So you're not going to see it manifest. If you're not giving, that's how you cooperate with the principle. Amen? Okay, the scriptural origin of tithing. Contrary to common belief, tithing did not originate with the law. Anybody who's read their Bible already knows that statement, right? So the first scriptural reference we have of tithing is found in Genesis chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. Abram gave tithes of how much of the spoil? All the spoil that he had taken in battle. He took it to Melchizedek, did he not? We have no record of what motivated Abraham to give 10% to Melchizedek. The Scripture calls Abraham a prophet, right? So maybe he picked up on it in the Spirit, you know, this principle, because this is a spiritual principle. Amen? All right. Melchizedek, he was a very interesting person, right? There's no record of his birth, his parents, or his death. You know, the Scripture esteems Melchizedek at a high level. And some people are shocked when they find out what kind of level that God has esteemed Melchizedek to. According to Hebrews 7:3, he was made similar to the Son of God, and he remains a priest how long? It says a never-ending priesthood. It still continues to this day. According to Hebrews 7:7, Melchizedek was greater than Abram. You know, in some areas, people would consider that cussing. Greater than Abram? Oh, no. And God chose Abram to be the father of faith. And the Scripture says that Melchizedek was greater than him. The law of Moses was not given until 430 years after the covenant God made with Abraham. So the tithe does not have its origin in the Old Testament law, does it? No. 430 years, that's a long time before the law was instituted. But any time you go and you mention anything about tithing to somebody who doesn't want to give tithes, they always thought, well, that was law. That was Old Testament law. We don't have to do that anymore. But Abram gave tithes 430 years before the law, right? And, you know, I was meditating on something one day, and I'm not going to say that this is, you know, something you should pick up and run with yourself, but this is something I feel like God showed me. What is the tithe? The tithe is something that God put in our possession that belongs to Him, right? It's in our care, and so He's just entrusting you with it and say, all right, this is in my care, or in your care, but this is what I want you to do with it. Now, if you partake of it and you take it, well, then you have taken and partaken of something that belongs to God, right? And I was thinking about that one day, and I got to thinking about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, they was in this garden, they had all this abundance, and they had that one tree that was in their possession that they were not supposed to eat of, but they were supposed to take care of it. And what did they do? They ate of it, and what happened? It released cursings into the world. And so I believe that's a type of the tithe. And so any time that you're not giving and you're taking what belongs to God, you're not cooperating with the blessing. And if you're not cooperating with the blessing, you're hindering the blessing from showing up in your life in all the areas that it shows up in, right? The blessing is more than just financial, okay? Do you understand that? The blessing is supposed to manifest in all areas, all parts of our life and our walk. Amen? So I'm running out of time on this session, so when we come back, we'll pick it up right here. Amen?